Jed, this is one of my favorite parts of our show because this is when we get to do our activists of the week.
Me too.
Person out there that's truly, as we say, busting pencils.
Absolutely.
Okay? Our activist of the week this week, Dr. Barbara Hong. Dr. Barbara Hong, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
You were there at a college talking today about the fact that students in college with cognitive disabilities deserve educational equity.
Being equal is having equal opportunities. We're not saying that they're going to get, you know, 4.0 GPA, you know, and all of this, but providing equal access is what this country is all about, giving equal opportunity. If I wasn't given opportunity in this country, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I appreciate that so much. So just like anybody else, the law of 504, section 504 of the Rehab Act of 1973 said that no otherwise qualified person who is disabled should be denied the opportunity to have equal access to public facility, and in this case, college.
Being in education, we talk a lot about special education in K-12, but Barbara's here now talking about the fact that special education law applies in the college classroom too. How did you get interested in special education for college students?
Well, first of all, it has been, you know, we always talk about K to 12, in fact, from birth to 12, you know, like going to school and all of this. But the thing is that these kids are now moving on and going to college. But the other thing is, are school preparing them for it? Are college faculty prepared to teach these students? In fact, a lot of faculty in college don't even have basic pedagogy on how to present information other than lecturing in front of them. And so we are having just, you know, kids with diverse learning needs. Now, we're talking about qualified individual. We're not talking about accepting anybody in college. Mm-hmm. We want to maintain that standard. However, if somebody is qualified, whether they're in a wheelchair, whether they have, you know, let's say cognitive disability, but they're still capable of learning with a learning difficulty, there are many things that they can do, faculty can do in college to allow them equal opportunity to learn and then strive for it for their own. So this is a whole new avenue that has not been investigated or studied much. What is their outcome? You know, are we providing them with support that they need? Are we training faculty to help the student be successful? And there are hardly any studies out there other than very broad longitudinal study done by Institutional of Education Statistics that says, well, post-secondary education. But we look at two-year, four-year institution. Has anybody ever tracked them? Are they successful? Are they support successful? What can we do differently? We are still learning about that.
Barbara, what kind of response do you get when you go into a college, you bring this to light? What kind of response do you get from the faculty at large?
Well, a lot of faculty claim that we care about these students. Mm. We want to help them. Now, remember, I'm not trying to say that they are not caring. Caring is a perceptual thing. I could say I care, you know, but if the other party doesn't perceive me as caring, that's another different story. So then the other thing is, when you care, what do you do about it? Do you learn about it or just say, oh, I just care, you know, well, I'll be there if the student needs me. So in this case, this presentation that I gave in the college was to help faculty, well, understand where is the student's, you know, where are they coming from? What are their struggles? By understanding where they're coming from, you will prepare your materials differently, not lowering the standard. Mm-hmm. Remember, you still have to maintain the standard, but it forces you to think differently. This is a diverse classroom now.
Mm-hmm. So a good part of your work is helping the faculty learn how to scaffold in ways that are going to give, as you said before, equal opportunity to all the students.
And if it didn't work out, you know, again, giving them equal opportunity. But I also must, justify with, we are not trying to do a lot, you know, getting kids with cognitive disability in college, and then all they do is for 2 years taking remedial classes, mm-hmm. because that's really not college. They could have done that in high school for free of charge. Right. Mm. So we want to give them a good education by equipping a higher ed institution, the support system and the faculty with this knowledge.
Right.
Otherwise, they're just taking remedial classes and spending money that they, you know, may not be able to afford to pay back.
Yeah. Are you encouraged in the direction things are going?
Actually, very, very encouraged. Very rare, you know, is that when I give presentation, faculty will say, well, you know, this student shouldn't even be in college. Very rare. Now, the other thing is we must bear in mind is when you talk about students with disability in general in college is nobody wants to admit or say out loud because there's this halo effect. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to say the morally right thing, mm-hmm. you know. So also, you know, taking into account with studies that we have done, I would ask faculty, well, what is it that you do? Then how did you present this? How did you adapt for the students? Again, it's not to trap faculty, but yeah. to help them become more aware. Right. In fact, this is society. This is the real world. When they go out in society to work, whether you have a degree or not, you are going to interact with people with disability. What a great opportunity it is in higher ed to start that. That is the real world yeah. to live in.
Are you advocating for students with special needs coming into college, or are you helping faculty learn to become an advocate for their students?
Well, it's both. You have to do both. Because number one, the student have to disclose if they have a disability, mm-hmm. right? That's a yeah. that's the part of the law. But the other thing is when they disclose, and when the faculty gets the letter saying, I need to give this accommodation, faculty don't really know what to do other than, mm-hmm. well, I'm going to give you extended time. Mm-hmm. You could give me 10 more hours. If I don't know, you know, if my teaching was horrible and I didn't make good adaptation, the student won't even get it, whether or not it's 10 hours or another 20
hours.
Right,
you can extend my time looking at a calculus book. It's not going to help translate that calculus into yeah. anything I understand.
Yeah. So we're talking about a lot of kids who have the opportunity to go to college. And in fact, I would say a lot of kids did very well in college because it gives them the opportunity to learn differently, more, you know, open and more flexible in the classroom than it is in K-12. So even though they may be identified with a disability, you will see a different side of students when faculty are willing to work with them. And I've seen that over and over and over again, whether students with autism come in with severe learning disability and they go, I finally get it now. I never understood math until I was in college algebra. They just teach it differently. And of course, these faculty are more qualified mm-hmm. compared, you know, K-12.
So it's very rewarding for the faculty.
Very. Seeing a student yeah. making it through life and yeah. all this thing, you know, despite yeah. and in spite of their disability.
Yeah.
And I would like to call it a difficulty. At this point, it's not even a yeah. disability.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like really important, terrific work that you're doing. And I want to just say, you've busted some pencils.